Welcome to the Chevrons Podcast, a podcast for the enlisted force. I'm Senior Airman Julia Ahasey, and I'm a public affairs specialist in the Massachusetts National Guard. This podcast offers advice and guidance for personal and professional development for all military members from all branches who are looking to become the best version of themselves. In this episode, we will be talking to U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant Dominic Collis. He has a unique career working with the Army, the Air Force, Navy, Space Force, and even has experience working with NATO during his assignment in Madrid, Spain. We learn from his experience and hear his advice about taking every opportunity, maintaining discipline, and networking. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome, Master Sergeant Collis. I'm so glad that you joined us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So to get started, can you tell us just a little bit about your military story, kind of when you started, why you joined, and then what got you to where you are today?
So I joined on the delayed entry program in December of 2000, and then I committed in June of 2001, 12 days after high school. My initial career path into the military started with the United States Army. I did that for about right under about 4 years, and then had a break in service. Tried to win civilian world, nothing could really work out. So I came back, tried to go active duty Air Force. At the time, they weren't taking prior service, so I enlisted in the Air Force Reserves. Did that for about 2 years out of Beale, California, at which time in March of 2008, I became full-time active again. My first assignment in the active duty was right at Ohio for about six years. After that, I went to Colorado Springs, Peterson Air Force Base. Did that for about 5 years. From there, I went over to, got a NATO assignment in Madrid, Spain. Did that for 3 years, and then went to Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam for 2 years. And then now I'm currently here, got here in August of last year to Cape Cod Space Force Station, Massachusetts. June will be about 24 total years that I've been serving.
So have you been security forces throughout your whole career, or has there been?
In the Army, I was an M1A1 Abrams tanker.
Okay.
So I drove the tank for 3 years, and then my remaining time, I was the gunner for that. Air Force-wise, I've been security forces the entire time, reserves and active duty.
So what is your current role right now on Joint Base Cape Cod?
So my current role is the operations superintendent. So the day-to-day guys, I'm oversee those. So checking the ECP, making sure everyone's valid to come through the installation, and then the patrols and whatnot. And then our BDOT controller, who is kind of like a dispatch for us, monitors our alarms and any responses that we have, coordinates any local response from the cities around, and helps coordinate those responses up to the site.
Awesome. So you have had a broad career, it seems like, a lot of different experiences, starting in the Army, and then you were Air Force Reserves, active duty Air Force, and now you're at a Space Force base. What has your experience been like working with these different branches, and what have you learned along the way?
It's quite unique, right? Being Army, I know that just my family. I had eight other uncles on my dad's side, five of those which served. So that's kind of my driving point to joining the Army initially, mm-hmm. right out of high school. And then, Joint Base Pearl Harbor, I worked with the Navy, right? We were on patrols together. Everything was joint based on that. So it was good getting to see different sides of other services that you may not see just being at a normal Air Force base.
Right.
And the same thing here, right? We're integrated day to day. Everything we do is with the Space Force. And what's unique about Cape Cod is anywhere else I'd have a security forces commander. Here I have a Space Force commander, a Space Force senior enlisted. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than anywhere else I'd be, but it's nice because I can pick their brains. I can pick the guardians, and we can learn from each other about their mission set to what our mission set is on protecting their assets and whatnot.
Do you find there to be any benefit in working jointly with those different branches? And if so, what benefits are there to learning from the different experiences and their different mission sets?
Biggest benefit is, right, you get outside of what you know, right? Mm-hmm. A typical security force, you're going to know the security, how to guard planes. Law enforcement is something we learn. But being able to integrate with different services, you get to understand their mission and how they bring, what they bring to the fight and the defense of the United States as a whole, not just Air Force specific. So, and in my career, being Army, I know that mission set, working with the Navy, got to learn a little about how they do things,
right.
And now being with the Space Force. So outside Coast Guard and Marines, I got a wide experience of how each service brings something to the fight.
For those airmen who might be really interested in working with the Space Force base one day, or even transferring to the Space Force, what advice do you have for them, and what are some of the things that they could look forward to if they wanted to have that kind of experience?
Oh, man. Do find something that you're passionate about and see which service, which branch offers what you're passionate about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer if you're doing something you love, you're not really working, you're doing your passion. You enjoy it, right? I've had that in my career, which is why I'm still here serving after almost 24 years in.
Right.
My oldest, my 22-year-old, he joined. He's in the Army. He absolutely loves what he did. He's an intel analyst up in Alaska and absolutely love it. So, again, my recommendation for younger troops is find something you love to do and do it, right? And find right. Which service, which branch offers that for you.
So you said your uncles inspired you to kind of join initially?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I come from a background of military uncles, cousins.
Mm-hmm.
It essentially, without being cheesy, right? It's a family business, right?
Right.
And I fully believe that, right? Yeah. But my uncles were my inspiration for joining straight out of high school.
So what was that experience like for you when your son told you that he wanted to join and he wanted to serve?
It's a blessing, right? You're scared, right? You're like, oh man, sure. My kid's joining, right? But you're proud, right? Because he's following in your footsteps. You've as a parent, that's what you want for your kids, is to set those good role examples, be that mentor, be that guide of light for them to move forward. And as they grow as young adults and then create their own life. So,
right.
Yeah, it's absolutely a blessing for him.
So you said before he's been in for about 2 years, you said he's the beginning of his enlistment.
Yeah. January was 2 years for him.
Awesome. And,
I mean, we talk to him almost every day. Just
right. Alaska's pretty far from Cape Cod.
Yeah, it's really far. We're a little closer when we're in Hawaii, mm-hmm. but we managed to make it work. Again, we talk to him every day. So
right.
Just advice, whether it's just how to be an adult or things that he's dealing with in the military that maybe I can give him advice on how to walk through those challenges or help him through those challenges.
And that was my next question, is what has been the biggest advice that you've given to him since he joined as a junior enlisted member?
I think the biggest, and it's just not just for my son, but I think just for anyone, is
mm-hmm.
is ask the questions, right? Ask the questions, find the reason why, right? I know some of us older heads, right, when we came in, it was just do what I said, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a firm believer, right? And I had to get over those obstacles on airmen asking why. But if you give them the reason why, they're more likely to do it because they understand why they need to do it.
Right.
So just continue to ask. Educate yourself. Be smart on the mission sets and why you're doing it.
Right. It's important to understand your purpose.
It is. It absolutely is. And again, if they know the reason why, they're going to do it.
Right.
Right. The next time you ask, but yep, I know the reason why. We have to do it for this.
Right. And as a junior enlisted member myself, it can be intimidating to ask those questions or to ask questions in general. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So I happen to ask a lot of questions, but it is very intimidating when you have to. What's your advice for navigating that, kind of keeping that communication with your supervisors and higher enlisted individuals to get the answers that you need?
I think it's twofold, right? As a junior enlisted, you got to be kind of uncomfortable, be comfortable being uncomfortable, right? Ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
But as us as supervisors, if we don't make ourselves approachable, right, and get from outside of our desk and actually go see, right, go spend the day with your airmen, right? See what they're doing. See what a day in their shoes is like. And vice versa, they should see, right? And if you build that relationship with your younger enlisted troops, you create that more approachable means, and then they're not going to be scared to come and ask you the why.
Right. And that's the biggest thing for me that I've had the greatest success with, or I've really appreciated, is when high enlisted individuals, senior NCOs such as yourself, make the effort to get to know me and get to know why I'm here and what my goals are. And that is makes it much easier to ask them those questions.
I think some people maybe look at us like, hey, he's a master sergeant, right? But at one time I was a brand new airman, junior enlisted coming in. I've sat in your shoes, right? So if we remember what it was like when we were at that stage in our life,
right,
then it'll help build that confidence for those junior enlisted to come and ask those tough questions or advice they may be wanting to seek and just don't know how to ask it.
And that leads into my next question of how can enlisted personnel find a good mentor or someone that they can look up to, ask those questions, and what's the importance of finding that mentor?
So there is on my vector, I believe, you can go and actually seek mentorships. Oh. But outside of that, just be involved in your community where you're at. Mm-hmm. If there's a wing event, go to it. Network. Again, be comfortable being uncomfortable. I think the first network we have is like when brand new airmen get to their first duty assignment, we have FTAC first term airmen, right? Network out there, find somebody outside of your career field and just get to know them, right? Because you never know when you may need that person. And then as it goes, we have AOS, NCO Academy, and just build those networks. But again, don't be shy. Don't just sit in your room, go to work, do your job, right? Go and be active in the community. And then again, use your supervisors to maybe, hey, I want to pick the command chief brain about maybe how he experienced. If you're with your supervisor knows your goals, knows your aspirations on where you want to go. They can help you navigate those maybe hard to reach people that you may want to pick their brain.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a great mentor in your career, and who was that person and how they help you along the way?
I've actually had several. So one night is my first time, first duty station when I was in the Army. I had Sergeant First Class. He's my platoon leader. I don't talk to him as much now, but he set the standard for me. This is what the standard was, and we're going to do it. And if I had questions or needed that advice, I had that support role that I could, and I had the comfort to know that he had my best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And then again, throughout my career, I still find anywhere I go, I find a mentor. I recommend try to maybe get it out of your career field so that way you have someone that doesn't do the same thing as mm-hmm. you did. It's just a different perspective that they may see outside of your career field.
Right. And speaking of standards, why is it important to uphold those high standards that the military instills in us?
I think without standards, we're just kind of lost, right? If everyone's doing their own thing and there's no set standard to how we do things, right, then we lose that discipline. We lose that. Discipline's probably the biggest one, right? Without discipline, you just kind of like, everything's lost. There's no, hey, we need to patrol the base. We need to secure the base. We'll use security forces, right? Mm-hmm. But I have one person that does it this way, one does it this way, and there's no standard. There's no discipline. Everyone's doing their own thing. So I think with the standard, having a set standard, then everybody knows what everyone else is supposed to do. So if something happens, anyone else can pick up because there's a standard.
Right. When it comes to, let's say, dress and appearance standards and hosting open rank inspections and all of those sort of rules and ways of doing things, how does that benefit the bigger mission and the discipline of each individual airman?
I think open ranks, one, you make sure people are prepared for what lies ahead for that day. Mm-hmm. Again, open ranks, you're making sure hairs are in standard, your uniform's in standard, you have the required gear that you may need for the task at hand for that day, right, month, year, whatever may come along. I think without a standardization, there's no discipline. Without discipline, we lose the fight.
Right. How has your ability to keep up with the standards and enforce the standards and military discipline in general helped you in your professional or personal life even?
It keeps me accountable, right? And I being a father of three boys, mm-hmm. it helps. I have standards within the house. Me and my wife have standards, right?
Right.
These are the chores that you need to get done, right? Standard, you come home, have your relax time, but then homework, schoolwork, and chores need to get done, right? And it just keeps, it flows easier when there's a standard to be able to do.
Right, and that structure as well, and just setting expectations.
Absolutely. I think without it, you're lost, right? We can't function as a unit, as a squadron, wing, as a command, if everyone's doing their own thing. I think that's the importance of why we have standards and why we should uphold those standards.
Right. So you said you started your career in the Army, you took a short break, and then you joined the Air Force Reserves, was it?
Yes.
And then since then, you've had a long career. What motivated you to join the Air Force Reserves after that short break and then continue re-enlisting throughout the years?
I think it's the people. You find people, for me, it's finding those people that motivate you each day to come into work, whether it be your spouse, your kids, coworkers, the patriotism of why you want to serve, right? What was your mm-hmm. reason? Find that reason why you want to continue. And it just helps. For me, it's people, right? Watching, I've had an airman that I've known since he was an A1C. He's now a master as well with me. And it's nice. It's as a leader, it's a beautiful thing to watch someone grow into their career along the way.
Right.
And be able to see it.
It's interesting to see how your reason for joining when you first joined versus your reason for being in the military now has kind of changed and shifted over the years.
And it's kind of, again, right, we're all human. You're going to have your bad days. You're going to have mm-hmm. your good days. But if you can find that reason why to wake up, continue to serve, I'll still be here until the military says, hey, you got
to go.
Yeah. But I love it. I love every single day I come to work. Right. I have young airmen that keep me motivated.
So now I want to talk a bit about education. I know this is something that you're a bit passionate about. What is the importance of education, professional military education, and outside education to just your professional and personal development? And then how does the military help you get there?
So for me, when I first came in, education was definitely not on my radar to do. I had no interest doing mm-hmm. it. But I think over time, as I matured as an adult and as a leader, learning something every day helps, right? The military offers. I think all branches offer it, some type of TA at no cost. So why not? It's going to better you as a person. It's going to help you when that time comes that you either want to separate or retire to have something to fall back on. Again, my time in the Army, I didn't have an education coming out, and it was hard coming out because I didn't have a solid plan in place. I had no experience outside of what I gained from mm-hmm. the Army. And now coming in the Air Force, I've used the TA. I've got my bachelor's and my master's. And I think when it's time for me to separate or retire, I'll be fully set. So take advantage of everything they're going to give you. They're called benefits for a reason. So use them.
Right. How has your experience been like with PME, professional military education? You've been to NCOA, ALS. Have you been to senior NCOA?
I have been to senior NCOA as well. Yeah.
What were those academies like, and what was your experience like? What did you take away?
I think the biggest thing for anyone that goes to those, again, is I mentioned it at the beginning, is just network, right? Mm-hmm. Take the information you're trying to, that the schools that you're in are teaching you, right? ALS is going to teach you how to be that first line supervisor, right? But network. Again, networking, I think, is key in any branch. Because you never know. You may have a troop that has financial issues, and you're like, ah, I remember so-and-so from NCOA. They were a finance. Maybe I can reach out and like at least pick their brains and see, hey, why is this happening? Or, hey, maybe they may be able to help you navigate that for your troop. And, then, yeah, I think networking is probably the biggest thing I got out of it outside of what learning I got from the academies themselves.
Throughout your career, have you ever faced a setback or a challenge? And how did you navigate that and move, grow from it?
Ooh, a setback. I mean, I think we all face setbacks at some point, right?
Right.
Whether it's, hey, I didn't get promoted this year, or I didn't get the desired assignment I want, right? Take it for what it's worth. Seek that mentorship from mentors that you may have. Find out where you maybe can be better, and then move forward. Right, take your day to, hey, I didn't get that assignment, but you know what? I'm going to this assignment. I'm gonna make the best of what I have, what the Air Force is gonna give me. Right, 'cause if you're just a negative Nancy, you're just not gonna have a good time. So just make the best of what you got.
How do you stay motivated in those times when you just feel like either things aren't going your way, or you aren't reaching your goals, or you're just not motivated to come to work anymore? How do you maintain that motivation?
I think it goes back to our previous, is find that why, right? What motive? Why are you doing what you're doing each and every day? Yeah, I think just finding that why keeps you motivated. Again, we're all going to have our good days. We're all going to have our bad days. But if you can reach back to why we're doing it, right? For me, it's the people getting to come to work every day and motivate somebody, right? You never know who's having a bad day. And just that simple hi, the simple outreaching to them may be what changes their day from a bad day to a good day.
Right. And I've heard this piece of advice. The best way to motivate your people is to get to know what motivates them. What is your biggest advice for learning how to motivate your airmen properly and find what motivates them and get to know them?
Again, getting out from behind your desk, right? You don't get to know your people if you just sit behind your desk and send emails all day. So take the time, right? Get out, get to know them. Get to know them as individuals, not just airmen so-and-so. Get to know them. What are their goals? What are they trying to achieve? Mm-hmm. What are their passions? I think if we get to know our people, it just helps them as a person, the squadron as a whole.
So I would love to hear more about your experience in Madrid, Spain, working with our NATO allies. What was that experience like?
Getting chosen to work in a NATO was unique, right? It was unique. Where I was at, we had 17 different countries all in one location. We did the southern part of Europe, airspace, right? Making sure people that were allowed to be there were there. And then just monitoring all the different activities that went on along there. For me, I was the only Air Force Security Forces member there. And then the rest of the team I worked with was the host nation, the Spanish Air Force, which it had its challenges. Having that language, a little bit of language barriers, but they were required to, everyone there had a requirement to have like a level 2 English. Mm-hmm. But just being there, being able to work with so many different countries and learn how they do things, and then what they bring to that NATO mission,
right,
was eye-opening.
What was your biggest challenge working with the Spanish Air Force in such a close capacity?
I think the biggest challenge was just the language barriers, right? Mm-hmm. There was different things security-wise with NATO that you had to do that I would do Air Force, right? Little similar, but it was just the different processes that come along with how the NATO did and mm-hmm. what the SOFA agreements that we were under, what we could do, what we couldn't do, I think was the biggest challenge. And then just navigating that as a whole. I mean, seven different countries have
right.
seven different ways they're going to be able to do thing, and to bring seven different ways all into one and make it work effectively, which as a young master was eye-opening, and it's just a different experience that you typically wouldn't get to see. So I recommend, if you see it on Talent Marketplace, I highly recommend anyone that sees it, go for it. Take that chance and go see what it's about.
Right. And that was my next question, which you kind of touched on, is learning from the different countries and what they do. What was your biggest takeaway? What did you learn from working with the Spanish Air Force while you're in Madrid?
Just the way they do things, how they handle things as a different country's Air Force. Again, there's similarities, how they in-process people into the base, right? Everyone's vetted, everyone's checked, whether it's passport, their ID cards that they have there. I think just as a whole, not just from the Spanish Air Force, just, again, the 17 countries that I had that opportunity to work with, and just taking little things that they may do, right? Some things they may do might be like, oh, why are we not doing that? No specific examples that I can give off the top of my head, but it was just that unique opportunity that I got to be able to see the bigger picture outside of just U.S. and Department of Defense, how NATO is something, that experience that I got to add to my plate.
Now, can you talk a bit about your next experience that you had working with the Navy? What was your biggest takeaway from working with hand-in-hand with your Navy counterparts?
So after Spain, went to Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam, Joint Base with the U.S. Navy, where they had the hierarchy leadership over there of the base. So everything kind of filtered through the base. Uniqueness there, for us, like Air Force-wise, we can have a commander sign a policy letter that needs to be changed. Where then everything went through, like their wing commander. Mm-hmm. So it was just different to see how them as a force worked compared to us. Again, differences but similarities, right? Being able to see how their security forces did, like, boat security compared to how we do things for flight line security. It was just that those different experiences that were nice to be able to experience and again, put those tools into my toolbox.
Right. So your experience working with the Navy, the Army, our different counterparts in different NATO countries, and just internally in your own security forces units in the Space Force as well, what is your best advice for teamwork and team building in working together?
Best advice? No one can do anything by themselves. So if you build that, if you have that strong team, right, obviously we're going to go through the different building, forming, storming, norming, right? It comes with any team building, but having that strong team to accomplish the mission just makes us a stronger force at the end of the day.
How do you build your team up and work together, even when you don't see eye to eye with those that you're working with?
Find those common goals, right? Again, like you mentioned, right, you're not always going to be the best of friends with maybe the team that you have set that kind of formed. Mm-hmm. But if you can all find that common goal, common interests, hey, this is the reason why, going back to the why on things, right? We need to complete this mission because of this. It just makes that team stronger, and you'll go forward. I mean, the sky's the limit when you can have that strong team, regardless of how you feel each other outside of that team.
Right. So as a senior NCO, what is something that you struggle with today, either with leadership or just in your current role, and how are you overcoming it?
I think there's struggles every day, right? Again, there's days like everyone goes through their bad days. There's days that you just don't want to come to work, but finding, I think we're going back to the why, right? Finding that why we do things, finding that purpose in life, that purpose on, hey, this is what I'm going to send out today, and this is how I'm going to do it. Just helps with the struggles, right? And then having great mentors that you can bounce your ideas off, or, hey, I can't figure this out, don't know what to do, I've gone down these rabbit holes, and maybe just finding that new perspective that you may not be seeing, right? As a senior NCO, I still ask, right? And sometimes it may be that airman, right? You don't, that airman might have went through that in their life prior to joining. They're like, hey, sir, like, this is how I did it when I came, right? So don't be afraid to go ask and pick the brains of junior enlisted, because they might just have that answer you're looking for.
Right. Now, this is the last question that we ask all of our guests on each episode. What is the best piece of advice you've ever given or received?
Ooh, good question. It is a good question. Best I received, I would say I continue, learn something every day, right? Be, right? If you stop learning, you stop growing, right? So learn something every day. Find different people to learn from. Again, whether it's people your same rank, people higher up. And again, even junior enlisted have something to bring to the table that you just may not know. Vice versa, I've given is probably be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because if you're not going to be uncomfortable, you'll never grow, because you're just going to stay in that bubble. So yeah, be uncomfortable being out and going and expanding your knowledges, and gaining those experiences that you may not have learned if you just stayed in your comfort zone.
Right. So do you have any last final thoughts of wisdom or advice that you want to share before we end the episode?
Advice, I'd say, again, take advantage of the things that are offered to you. Take advantage of the benefits that the military has to offer. And don't be afraid to just go out and do something that you typically wouldn't do. Take that assignment that you'd be like, oh, I don't really feel like going there, because you never know, that assignment might be your best assignment that you've had.
Well, thank you, Master Sergeant Collis, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.